Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. The Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the things that we've done in our body, whether those things be good or bad. Whether we like it or not, the reality of it is that we all will preach our own funerals. I've been privileged, and I always consider it an honor when I'm asked to preach someone's funeral, and I've probably done several hundred of them, but never once in all of the funerals that I've been privileged to preach has the person ever come to me before they died to sit down and tell me what they wanted me to say. Generally, I sit down with the family afterwards and we go through perhaps what they would like to say or maybe a poem that's going to be read, but generally, if I know the individual, I preach it from the perspective of how they lived their life. Those that are in Christ, certainly, that's the privilege and honor of doing that because we understand what their reward is going to be, Revelation 2 and verse 10. But today I want to talk about, and this lesson is not intended to crush our spirits, but rather to provoke our thoughts. So let me kind of pose this scenario. Let's say that you died yesterday. What will the preacher say at your funeral? You see, your family is gathered around, your friends are sitting there, those that are closest to you, the brethren perhaps of the body of Christ, your co-workers, simple acquaintance, will all be at your funeral. And what is it that they will hear that the preacher says that will explain the manner of life in which you lived? Because the fact of the matter is, the way that we live our life is the funeral that is going to be preached. I've had many individuals that have come to me, sometimes as I sit down with the family, almost as if it's dueling banjos, where one says this and the other says, you know that he didn't live like that. That's difficult for me. So simply, I preach it from the standpoint, those that have no hope, of the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. But as the Bible tells us, we will all die one day. And though we aren't going to be present for our funerals, our family will, and we certainly hope that we leave behind the legacy that we want to leave, certainly one that is going to be worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. So, you died yesterday. What is the preacher going to say at your funeral? Maybe you're going to say, hey, preacher, tell them how I responded to the love of God when I learned that I was a sinner. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We also understand that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. But is the preacher going to be able to say at your funeral that they understood the necessity of obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, therefore they knew that they were a sinner according to the Word of God and they needed to respond accordingly? To me, that is the easiest funeral to preach, is for one who dies in Jesus. I can still remember the very first funeral I preached as a very green gospel preacher from Miss Zula Witherington that was 99 years old, that had been a Christian for 70 years. That was an easy funeral to preach. Because by the manner of her life and her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids that were present at the funeral, all because of the legacy that she left behind, understanding the necessity of what it meant to be obedient to the gospel, they themselves were also Christians in the body of Christ. So will we say, hey, preacher, I really want you to tell them of how I responded to the gospel and what it told me that I must do? Are you going to tell them that I loved God and I kept His commandments? Are you going to tell them perhaps, as it says in Matthew 12 and verse 42 or John 12 and verse 42, that I love the praises of men more than I love the praises of God? Are you going to say, you know, I understood what I needed to do, but there just wasn't enough time in my schedule to make room for God? Really, I think the hardest thing for us many times is to realize the state that we're living in and that we have to correct it. Many times, perhaps, the notions of the things that we've always heard growing up don't align with what we've been taught now in the Bible, and sometimes that doesn't coincide with what we need to do to respond to the gospel, and that kind of goes against the flesh and the spirit, so to speak. But are you going to tell the preacher, hey, preacher, tell them of my love for Jesus and how I knew I needed to respond and how I needed to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus says in Luke 17 and verse 10, concerning the servant, that the master is not going to brag on the servant when the servant knows what they need to do. Jesus said, that's not my job. You see, your obedience is based upon your love for Christ, again, John 14, 15. And Jesus said, if you love me, John 15, 13 and 14, then you'll keep my commandments. So Jesus then goes on to say in Luke 17 and verse 9, he says, look, I'm not going to praise you because you knew what you were supposed to do as your master. But he says, likewise, in that manner, let men all say when I've done all that I'm required to do that we are counted or considered unworthy servants based upon what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. So we do it based upon what Jesus did, right? John 3 and verse 16. So we would all want the preacher to say, hey, preacher, tell the individuals how I knew of the life that I was living and that I needed to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're going to say, hey, preacher, tell them about how I worship the Lord. Tell them how I was a full-time worshiper of the Lord. Tell them how I understood how important all of those acts of worship were for me to make sure that I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. Tell them that I prayed as we were praying together as a congregation. Tell them that we were singing, that we were speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, right? Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Tell them how I partook of the Lord's Supper as I was focusing my mind, as Paul is referencing in Acts 20 and verse 7, as he gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread, right? Tell them I understand the importance of what it means to partake of the Lord's Supper and how that's a memorial of his death and what he did for me at Calvary. Tell them how I was willing to give of my means exactly what God wanted me to do, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, or how I was supposed to make sure that I understood that I was listening to the Word of God that was being preached and rightly dividing it, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Or is the preacher perhaps going to say, I was just a part-time worshiper. I really only came when it was convenient, or if the weather was really nice and sunny outside and it wasn't too cold for me or it wasn't too hot, the weather had to be just right, or maybe it just wasn't that important to me at all. So, preacher, I want you to make sure that you tell them about my worship. So what's the preacher going to say about your worship? Is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Is he going to say he understood the necessity of why we must gather together upon the first day of the week? Because God desires those individuals that are seeking him, John 4 and verse 24, that God is a spirit and we must worship him with truth and spirit. So is the preacher going to say, perhaps maybe you were just an occasional worshiper? Maybe it wasn't really that important. You see, remember, you've already demonstrated your attitude in how your funeral is going to be preached. Maybe you're going to say, hey, preacher, tell them about my manner of life. You see, I always enjoy this portion of funerals because as I get to sit down, and especially if I don't know the individual, that I get to learn about them. I get to tell the type of individual that they were and the life that they lived and perhaps tell a funny story and many of those different things. But you see, really what you're telling the preacher here concerning your manner of life isn't necessarily that you were a character or that you were a joker or any of those things, or that you were a great grandparent or a loving father or a wonderful wife. None of those things. Really what you're saying concerning your manner of life is the way that you lived your life as a Christian. And isn't that really the most important thing? All of those other things come into play, certainly. They're in the perspective of the life that you lived. And we understand how short life can be, right? James 4 tells us how quickly and fast and fleeting life can be for all of us. But can I tell them about the manner of life that you lived, that you were one that pursued spiritual things, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Are we going to say that we lived holy and acceptable before God and that everybody saw that of the character and the manner of life that I was living and that I portrayed that and people saw that and that's what they wanted me to say? Tell them that to me spiritual things were first. Oh, no, wait, no. Preacher, tell them that they were... As a matter of fact, just tell them, I don't know, they get in there somewhere. Somewhere along the line, my spiritual life came into play perhaps. Or do we want that to be number one priority? Preacher, tell them that the Lord and the church were my number one priority in life. You see, because really everything else becomes second. Maybe you can tell the preacher about your work in the church. I think I hit the wrong button. Preacher, tell them about my work in the church and how I love to work and labor in the vineyard of the Lord. When we were added to the church, as it tells us in Acts chapter 2, that we come into a place of labor, that we come into a place of work, that there's something required of us that we have to do. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are all laborers together. Preacher, can you tell them that I was a Tabitha? Can you tell them that I love to make things, or that I love to be active, or that I love to help the body of Christ? Maybe sometimes we think our talent is insignificant and doesn't matter very much, and maybe it even goes unnoticed. But if that's the case, it doesn't matter, because we don't love the praises of men more than the praises of God, right? So Lord, or preacher, please tell them about my work in the church and what I do. Tell them how I was always looking for areas in which to labor, or that I was ready when I was asked, or maybe catch me if you can, preacher. So in my manner of life, can the preacher tell at your funeral that you were one who loved to work in the Lord's church? Or maybe I just haven't decided where my talents lie yet. So what will the preacher say about your talents? They were used for the glory of God, or they weren't used at all? Even if it's in the last moments of life, how can those talents be used? And what will the preacher say about your work in the church? Or what about this? Preacher, tell them how much I love the brethren. Jesus said something in the Bible along the lines, "This shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Galatians 6, that we're bearing each other's burdens, that we're lifting each other up, that we're taking care of each other. We certainly don't want anybody to say when we die in the Lord that you're not going to be missed. It'd be kind of harsh words to hear at your funeral, wouldn't it? Especially if you're the one preaching your funeral. But we want the preacher to say, "Oh, how he loved the brethren. And oh, how he loved to help those in the church." Tell them that my love was seen because I called and visited individuals. Because I didn't just leave it up to the preacher and those other people in the church to visit those who needed to be visited, or those who needed to be counseled, or those just simply who needed help without asking. You see, that wasn't the way that I was, because the preacher is going to say, "This is what I needed to do," or "This is what they did," right? So when the preacher is talking about your love for the brethren, is it going to be a true, deep down, phileo type of love concerning the love that we have for the brotherhood? Or maybe I invited others into my home. Or is the preacher going to say, perhaps they only saw people in the building, or they only said hi and bye as we passed in the foyer? Is the preacher going to say that at your funeral? What about this? Preacher, tell them how much I loved the Scriptures. Again, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, that we rightly divide the Word of God, teaching those things accurately as it tells us to do, that we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, right? Ephesians 5:12 talks about the first principles of the oracles of God. Again, later in the chapter, it talks about the idea of growing and being fed the pure meat of the Word, because we've grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So please, preacher, tell them how I loved His Word. Please tell them how I used His Word. You see, I know it's hard for us to think about, because whether we're 16 or 65 or 92, all of us one day will be in that casket, or whatever other means by which you choose your body to be disposed. And as hard as that is for us to understand sometimes, we understand that death is going to come upon all men. But it's the manner in which we lived our life and after that matters the most. Death is a difficult thing for us to grasp sometimes. And in funerals, it helps us to understand our mortality. It helps us to understand that life is uncertain, life is fleeting, and life is quick, and that we're all going to have to face that day. And we don't know how quickly that day will come. But it comes upon all men, again, Hebrews chapter 9. One of the things I often tell families as we gather together is that this is for you. because you want to remember them, right? You want to make sure that nobody forgets the type of person that they were. You want to make sure that their legacy lives on, or that people understood and remember how much you were loved and how much you were respected and how much you cared. All of these attributes are going to be given at your eulogy. It's not simply the day that you were born and the day that you died. It's the dash that matters the most. So can you tell them that you loved the Bible? Is the preacher going to say they had a great knowledge of the Scriptures, or maybe the preacher is going to tell them about your spiritual influence? Perhaps of how you brought someone to Christ. And even if it's only one person, it's still one person. Good or bad, all of us have influence whether we like it or not. God wants us to have a positive influence. Philippians 2 and verse 15 talks about being blameless and harmless before all men. But I think the greatest influence that we want to have, not only to our friends, but also to our family, is that we were the spiritual influence they needed to see, that Christ might shine through us. And that knowing in that moment, the greatest treat for me as a preacher who preaches a funeral is to see the smile on the family's face when I say they died in the Lord. Because in that moment, there is that comfort in the peace that we have because this funeral is for us, that we grieve and we pay our respects and that we remember how much the person was loved, but more importantly, where the person is. I always think about Luke chapter 16. You think about the rich man and Lazarus. Can we tell, can the preacher say, tell my loved ones that I'm going to be in paradise waiting for them, anxiously waiting for them to be with me? Or tell them, preacher, tell them, really tell them how much I love them. But please tell them don't follow my example. Please tell them not to live like I lived. Don't follow in my footsteps. Or maybe you'll say, preacher, please plead with them to know, like the rich man did, to know and to serve God. To truly know Him and to truly serve God. Preacher, that's what I want you to tell them. Plead with them. Plead with them. Again, I've been privileged to do funerals for those that are members of the church. And I had one particular individual I did when I was in Alabama, and the one thing that he stressed always was the importance of the invitation of Jesus Christ. And his wife told me, if there's anything that you preach in that funeral, make sure that you give the invitation. Make sure people have the opportunity to respond in that moment if they need to. And what that told me about him was he was not concerned for himself. He was concerned for everybody else that would be there. So that shows he was concerned for spiritual things and that he wanted to have that spiritual influence for those that were in the audience. Because you never know who's going to be sitting there at your funeral. And maybe that's the one chance in your life at that one moment that you, in your death, can have influence on all of those that are sitting there to eulogize you. And even in the very last moment, before your body is laid to rest, and when the grave is finally closed and everybody goes home, in that last moment, maybe you'll influence someone enough to understand how short and fleeting life is, that your influence led them to Christ. What kind of assurance could the preacher give to those who are left behind after you've left this earth? You realize that it's not going to make any difference in regard to what might be said or left unsaid on that occasion, because you will have preached your own funeral for everyone to see in the life that you lived. The good news is that you didn't die yesterday, and that you have today, and if the Lord blesses you, you have tomorrow. But you have today to continue to write your funeral sermon. And the more you write, the easier it is for the preacher to preach. And the more you pay attention to the words that you put down and the manner in which you live them, the more wonderful that funeral will be. If you're not living as you should, turn it around and make the funeral that you preach a different one. Write your own script today. The manner that you live in this life is exactly how it's going to be preached. And I always like it when I sit down with the family and the family presses more of the spiritual things rather than the things they did in their life that were simply physical. Larry, tell them how much he loved the Lord. You remember all the work he used to do around the building. Remember how much she used to love to visit the funeral home and sit down with those and make things for them? You remember all the birthday cards she used to send, and she never missed anyone's birthday in the congregation because she wanted them to know that she remembered that one special day for them. Larry, tell them, please, how much he loved Jesus and His Word. You see, I don't even have to write those things down because they speak for themselves. What will be said at your funeral? And believe it or not, how you respond this day, in this moment, this time, and in this minute, is how you're writing your funeral. If you need to respond to the gospel, as we said in the very beginning, preacher, tell them how I understood, how I wasn't living, and how I had not obeyed the gospel, and I need to respond to it. Tell me what I need to do to be a member of the body of Christ. And because God doesn't leave us without, and He gives us assurance, and He tells us that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can be saved, that I'm ready to put away my past life and cast away my sins. Jesus said, if you do all those things, that's great. But if you don't, then you're going to perish. Jesus said, if you'll stand before men and tell them that I am your Lord and Savior, then I'll be more than happy and privileged to stand before our Father in heaven and to tell you and to tell Him that He is not guilty. Matthew 10:32. And as you can say, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put on Christ in baptism. I had my sins washed away. I stood as a new creature in Christ, as a new person. Because, preacher, tell them I understood the importance of that because I wanted to be added to the body of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. And I wanted my sins washed away, Acts 2 and verse 38. But maybe the preacher will say this, they understood at that moment or in that time they needed to fix things. And they understood that they got knocked down from time to time and the devil was there to trip them up whenever he could. But tell them I understood 1 John 1 and verse 7 that said, if I continue to press on in the light as Jesus is walking in the light and I stay in His shadow, that He is faithful and just to forgive me of all my unrighteousness and cleanse me of my sins. Preacher, tell them I understood that. Tell them I'm not a perfect person. Tell them I made mistakes. But tell them that I love the Lord as together we stand and sing. Come on in.